Hey guys, before we start the show, this is a special presentation. This is a mocktail episode for everyone. I know there's a lot of people who listen to the show who aren't big drinkers or would prefer not to use alcohol in their beverages. So this is a special mocktail episode for all of you, and I hope you enjoy it. This was actually one of the earliest episodes I recorded with Sean Myers over a year ago. Basically one of my pilot episodes. And so it's early on and I probably talk over Sean a lot because I was nervous, but I hope you enjoy the episode. And there will be a regular episode of the Fantastic Pour as well at the end of the month as well. So it's kind of a two for one. So enjoy. Welcome to the Fantastic Pour. This is the podcast that combines comics, cocktails, and conversation for your listening pleasure. I am your host, Brett Young. Because there are talking animals all around me, and that can be alarming, I need some support here. So I'm joined by a very special guest. I am pleased to introduce the man who, I am told, is the real talent behind the Batman Family Reunion, Mr. Paul Kian. But unfortunately, he couldn't be here today. So instead, I have his podcast partner, Mr. Sean Myers. How are you, Sean?
I am great. I'm so happy to be on this show.
Okay, well, let's get on with the show. So sometime ahead of recording each podcast, I ask my guest two things. Choose an alcohol, beverage, or ingredient that they enjoy, and choose a comic book character they love. Now, based on the answers, I come up with a cocktail, or in this case, a mocktail, for us to create and choose a comic book to discuss. Sean, please tell our friends in the lounge your chosen ingredient and comic book character. Let's start with your comic book character.
My comic book character is Captain Carrot and his amazing zoo crew.
Very nice. And why Captain Carrot?
I've always liked, you know, like growing up, when I grew up, like there were lots of different kinds of comics. So you had superheroes, mm-hmm. you had Archie, you had Harvey, like funny animals, horror, sci-fi, like all of those different kinds. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you're kind of like, quote unquote, too old to like them. Like you do yeah. like them. And Captain, so it's a great marriage between funny animals and superheroes. Mm-hmm. And it was in one of the bonus books. So that's fantastic.
It was. And so I wanted to mention that actually real quick. So Captain Carrot's Amazing Zoo Crew were created by Roy Thomas and Scott Shaw. And the first appearance, which you mentioned, was in New Teen Titans issue 16. And it was a special insert comic when DC was doing those. And it basically guest starred Superman with Captain Carrot. And the thing I wanted to just discuss about that was it was so great because that particular issue of the Teen Titans is, I mean, the Titans were like the hottest book on the stands at that point, you know, so at least in DC. So, but this is a very serious issue about Starfire falls in love with this guy who turns out to be like an undercover Hive agent. And he changes his mind. So Hive murders him. And she's heartbroken and flies off in a rage, is trying to kill him. They're trying to talk her down from killing this Hive agent. And it's such a serious issue. And then you've got Captain Carrot stuck right in the middle of it. I want to see the insert is like right around the time the guy's murdered too, I think, or something like that. It's fantastic. So, and by the way, I have this issue of the Teen Titans, and I was dumb enough at that age to, I took out the insert. So I still have the comic insert, but it's not, you know, still stapled into the Teen Titans. Anyway, we'll get back to the Zoo Crew, but right now I wanted to talk about your ingredient of choice. So what did you choose and why did you choose
it? My flavor is cinnamon. And I love cinnamon. Now, the tough thing is like, it is kind of tough for me to explain why I like a flavor. Like it tastes good. I like
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
But this kind of made me think it probably really stems back to like when you're a kid and your mom will make like cinnamon toast. That's probably mm-hmm. like the first time I really had cinnamon, like that buttery cinnamon sugar
right,
on it,
right.
when it's warm. It's so good. And if you have hot chocolate, you can dip it in there and it's so good. I think that's probably like the first. And then of course, like the cereal cinnamon toast crunch. I always loved that. So like mm-hmm. any big red gum, cinnamon certs, any kind of thing like yeah. that. Like it's always just so it's so good. Oh, hot tamales.
Yeah. Oh yes.
They're
yes.
good.
Okay. Well, I'm a big cinnamon fan too. So, and truth be told, I was really wavering between doing Captain Carrot or doing one of the other characters or groups you picked for comic book was Justice Society. So I was gonna drink call the drink Cinnamon Grundy, and I was like so like sold on that, but I was like, yeah, I kind of wanted to do Captain Carrot, so I changed my mind. But that's it. That was in the back of my head the whole time. I was trying to figure out a way to do that. So anyway, so the mocktail I created for us is a spiced cinnamon orange thyme mock. So now before we go over the recipe, let's talk a little bit more about our responsible friend, the mocktail. In this segment, I like to call Secret Porigens. Because you see, Sean, my show is called The Fantastic Pour, Pour in Origin. You get that? Okay.
That this is a great precursor to all of the fantastic puns that are coming
That's
up in the
true. That
book.
is, that's very true. So I am a fan of the rise in the popularity of mocktails because of its inclusiveness and creativity. It brings everyone to the table or the bar, as the case may be more appropriate. So this from liquor.com, quote, "The rise of non-alcoholic cocktails is a trend that brings a sense of relief. For a cocktail enthusiast, one of the most exciting aspects of tippling is enjoying the blend of unique flavors that typically only alcoholic ingredients can express, but not everyone chooses or is able to consume booze," unquote. The acceptance of not drinking for a night, a week, or even or ever has helped usher in the wave of non-alcoholic alternatives and some incredibly creative and delicious concoctions. This allows everyone to enjoy the flavors of a good drink without the alcohol. These mocktails provide an alternative to alcoholic drinks at home or at the bar. Many cocktail bars are creating non-alcoholic drinks using custom-made syrups, shrubs, ferments, and non-alcoholic distilled spirits. You have companies like Ritual Zero Proof and Free Spirits are producing alcohol-free whiskeys, rums, gins, tequilas, and more. It's a brave new world for people who like a cocktail glass in their hand at the party without the booze. So, Sean, let's head over to the Fantastic Pours Rabbit Rescue and Refreshment Lounge and mix up our mocktail. Now it's happy hour, so let's make a drink. I call this the Zoo Cruise. So, Sean, tell our friends what we need.
You will need half a cup of water, a quarter cup of maple syrup, 2 sprigs of fresh thyme or 2 tablespoons of crushed thyme, half tablespoon of ground cinnamon, 2 tablespoons of freshly grated ginger, 1 squeezed lemon, 1.5 cup of orange juice, a half cup of grapefruit juice, 2 cups of ginger beer. And the garnish, you'll need a cinnamon stick or sprig of thyme or orange wedge or a combination of some of the above. Go for the cinnamon stick. That you want the cinnamon, the
Yeah.
cinnamon stick.
Yes. Very good. Okay. So real quick, how to put this together. So the first thing we're going to do, now this takes a little prep. So this is not something you can just go to the kitchen, whip up in like a minute. Okay. So it takes a little bit of prep, but it's worth it. Now, one thing to add is the ingredients that we gave you are to make 4 drinks. So that's enough to make 4 drinks. So what you want to do is you want to take your water, the maple syrup, your thyme sprigs or your crushed thyme, and the cinnamon, and put it in a small pan and bring it to a simmer. Now, once it's simmering, you want to reduce the heat to low for about a minute, then let it cool to room temperature. At that point, you want to fill a shaker about halfway with ice and strain in the thyme syrup. You want to strain it. If you don't have a specific bar tool for that, you can just use, you can, you know, do it over a small, strainer you use for like a salad or a colander or something like that. The reason for that is, especially with the thyme, you don't want the thyme sprigs getting in there and getting all mixed up in the drink and stuff like that. You want to use that more as other pieces for garnish. But so you're gonna fill a shaker halfway with ice. You're gonna strain in the thyme syrup. You want to add the grated ginger and the lemon juice and shake well for about 10 seconds. Really give it a good shake. After that, you want to strain the contents from the shaker into 4 glasses evenly. Then you want to fill those glasses with ice, then add the orange juice, grapefruit juice, and ginger beer, and then garnish how you choose and enjoy. So we're going to take a break to mix up our Zoo Cruise. Sean will try to figure out some other tragic storylines where a Captain Carrot special insert comic would feel wildly out of place, and we'll be right back.
Hey Sean, did you know that Batman Family Reunion is expanding?
Oh my god, what? Our episodes are now going to be 3 hours long?
No. Now that we have moved into Detective Comics, we are going to see stories starring other members of the, let's say, extended Batman family, like the Human Target.
Well, he's a detective.
The Demon.
He's been in Batman Family before.
Elongated Man.
He's a detective.
Red Tornado.
He's been in Batman Family before.
Black Lightning.
Ooh, he's cool.
And the Atom.
He's small. I'm excited by the upcoming artists. Not only are we still going to see my favorite, Michael Glorious Golden, but we will see art by Don Newton, Dick Giordano, Irv Novick, Jose Delbo, Johnny Craig, and even Steve Ditko and Dan Spiegel.
Awesome, but we won't forget the original stars. We'll see Robin return to the big top and Babs discover a family secret. Man-Bat teams up with Jason Bard, Batman teams up with Batgirl, and we will finally get an all-new Alfred story. We will see villains like Maxi Zeus, the Riddler, the Crime Doctor, and the Truckers.
But Paul, you know people say that the best part about the reunion is getting to interact with our Bat cousins. I personally think it's all of the food, but I understand their point of view. We are continuing our guest list, including some repeat visits, but also some new Bat relatives. We love that our show has become a real family reunion, and we can't wait for you to hear what we have planned. That's the Batman Family Reunion on all of your podcast apps, only on the Fire and Water Podcast Network.
And we're back. Now, Sean, I don't know about you. I thought we could add the carrot insert into Swamp Thing's anatomy lesson. I thought that would be good. Maybe the first issue of Identity Crisis. And then like the Rise of Arsenal issue where Roy Harper's hugging a dead cat. So I don't know. Do you have any thoughts on this?
I think they're all fantastic inserts.
Awesome. Okay, so now you've had a chance to taste the Zoo Cruise. What do you think?
It was very good, in spite of me. So when I signed up for this, I didn't know I'd have to be cooking, and I am not great at cooking. So, right. Man, and like, it seems so unfair to me because, like, in life, I am a rule follower, and I follow rules, so I follow directions and everything. Now, the problem is, in our house, we have, I don't even want to say we have a measuring cup. We had, you know, like the things that are on the ring and you're supposed to have like eight of them.
Right.
We have one of them. And that was a quarter cup. So not only like, so if something was like That's a awesome. Cup and a half, like
yeah.
I had to fill
yeah,
it
to keep doing six. It. Yeah.
And then I thought, well, okay, so it's probably easier just to make one. Well, then I had to quarter that amount. And then I had to like use my iPad and look, because I'm horrible at math. Cooking and math and all of that. Now, the good thing is, so I kind of did it twice. I did it first the real way, and I liked that a lot.
Okay.
But then I didn't want to have to go through all of that again. So I kind of cheated and made like a fake mocktail version of it. Your version is better than my fake version. Now, the only thing I will say, for me, there wasn't enough cinnamon. So I added more cinnamon.
Okay.
And I kind of put like three cinnamon sticks in the original.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Because I like the cinnamon.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And that's something, I mean, if there's, you can add more of that. I probably, if you're going to do that for the syrup, I forget how much it is. Is it a tablespoon or something? It's
half tablespoon.
So, yeah. And that's for four drinks. So if you want to double that, it's still going to reduce enough, you know, you could add like a touch more water or something in the saucepan while you're stirring or something like that, or even reduce the maple syrup a little bit and add a little more cinnamon that way, because it, you know, it will give it more of that, bite. It's the color is orangish in hue, depending on how it can get, it gets a little darker than that. But I figure with the orange, well, Sean's holding up his glass, his Fantastic Four glass. Nice. Oh, no, Firestorm. I'm sorry. I thought I said Fantastic Four. I thought you were staying on brand here, Sean. What are you doing? Fantastic. I know who you're sucking up to. Come on.
Shout out to Shag.
Firestorm. Anyway, but if you add that and then you have the green of the thyme and a little orange from the orange slice, if you do it that way. Kind of looks like a carrot a little bit, you know, in color. So I'm pushing a little bit there.
And by the way, thank you for not putting any carrots in this drink, because I don't like carrots at all. And I didn't even think about that. Okay. I didn't think about that when I suggested Captain Carrot. And when I saw the ingredients, I'm like, oh, thank God there's no carrot in this.
I couldn't think of a carrot and cinnamon cocktail that would go, or mocktail that would go well together. So no, you're fine on this. But it's it's a little sweet, it's a little savory. I think it's something that it would be something nice. I think it's kind of got that end of the summer, beginning of fall feel to it and taste to it, you know, with the syrup and the cinnamon and some of the ingredients. So it's kind of, you know, it's like that, you know, kids going back to school, football season starting, as you well know, Sean, I know you're a big football fan. You know, that kind of feel to it and everything. Yeah, I enjoyed it. It's one you probably only have one or two of. It's got, you know, because it's got some heft to it, the drink. Another point, if you did want to make this, like, for instance, if you were entertaining people, some drank and some didn't, this way you make the whole drink as a base, and then you can add a shot of whiskey. Whiskey would go well with it. So you could always do that if you wanted to make it an actual cocktail too. And you don't have to change any of the ingredients or portions, just, you know, throw in a shot of whiskey. Anything else you want to say about your mocktail?
Definitely try it. I wholeheartedly, like, I am glad I did it. Like, I tried
Right.
it.
How long did you let the syrup sit before you made the drink? Like, after you,
It's
yeah.
probably about, well, probably like half an hour
Okay.
because
Yeah.
I was like trying to do like all my other ingredients and the
Right.
math and all of that. But it was room temperature. It definitely was room temperature. Like,
Yeah.
it was, I didn't pour it in hot.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I let it sit. I actually did it a little earlier in the day. I did it before the kids got home from school. So I did it earlier. So it probably sat for about 2 hours or so
Oh, okay.
before I put it together. But the amount of time you're talking about is fine. A lot of it's just to kind of settle it. Sure, it's not too syrupy or it's not too hot, because you mix that with the cold, it's gonna, you know, it's not gonna have the same. You know, you want the drink to be cold. All right. Well, as we while we enjoy our zoo cruise in a fantastic lounge, how about some fine literature? This comic we will be discussing that involves Captain Carrot is Captain Carrot and His Amazing Zoo Crew, issue 12. Now, this was published by DC Comics, cover date February 1983, on sale date November 24th, 1982. So you could enjoy this right after a nice Thanksgiving Day meal, I guess. Cover price 60 cents. Those were the days. Story title of Mice and Menace. Editor Roy Thomas. Writer and penciler Scott Shaw. Inker Alan Gordon. Letterer Carrie Spiegel McCarthy. And colorist Thomas J. Is it Zuiko? Zuko? I'm
Sure.
sorry, Thomas. I'm screwing that up. Thank you, Mike's Amazing World of Comics and DCFandom.com for that information. Story breakdown. It's an evening at the Z Building in Los Antelopes, as Roger Rodney Rabbit, aka Captain Carrot, is using pig iron as a model to finish an art deadline. Suddenly, Roger sees a tiny mouse in spandex on his drawing table before disappearing. Fastback and Rubber Duck, and then Alley Cat Abra, see the mouse as well until he reveals himself as the shrinking hero named Little Cheese. Little Cheese explains he needs the zoo crew's help and tells them his story as a high school basketball star named Chester Cheese. Chester is shaken down by a mobster named Fat Cat to throw the big basketball game. Chester refuses and runs away, only to find his dad, scientist Dr. Edam Cheese, has been murdered. It turns out Dr. Cheese was the real target, so Fat Cat could steal all his government tech projects. Fat Cat knocks out Chester and locks him in his dad's high security lab. After being stuck for a while, Chester eats some of the glowing cheese in the fridge, which turns out to be from outer space. Chester gains the ability to shrink, which unfortunately cost his team the big game due to his lack of control over the new power. Now fatherless and friendless, Chester swears to get revenge on Fat Cat. He calls himself Little Cheese. The zoo crew agrees to help, which leads to a showdown in Fat Cat's fancy penthouse apartment. Fat Cat blasts them all with his cat of nine tails. Fat Cat tries to squish the zoo crew with his stolen gravity tech, but Little Cheese was able to escape, take out the henchmen, destroy the gravity control panel, and subdue Fat Cat. Impressed by the newcomer, the zoo crew considers making Little Cheese their new member, but not until Chester is ready. All right. Well, what did you think overall? What did you think of this issue? You've read this before, correct?
I have read this before.
Okay.
So, like, when Captain Carrot was published, I got the first couple of issues, definitely five, because that's the one with the Indiana Jones parody. Is that o Oklahoma Bones? I for
Something like that. Yeah,
Indiana
he's like a
Bones.
dog. Yeah,
Yeah,
something
yeah.
bones. You're right. Yeah.
And I love that issue. But sometime I kind of like trailed off after that. I kind of think I got trapped into the I'm too old to
Right,
read this
right.
crap, which I'm glad now I've reverted back to reading whatever I want. But like when I started getting back issues, I started to fill in the holes of my Captain Carrot collection. Now I don't have a complete collection yet.
That's right. Yet. Yes. I have them ready for you, Sean.
But I do have a fair amount, and I do like reading them. And it's such like a great concept, you know, you have all the, and it's so colorful and fun, and just like it is so dad joke and pun laden. I just love that so much about this entire series. And then I know later they had like the I don't know if it's a crossover, but like the Oz Wonderland War, the three issue miniseries.
Yeah, I had that as well. And then they did one after that, which I don't think I have. And I'm trying to remember. I actually came upon it when I was doing a little research for this episode, and I can't remember what it's called. I think it might be on DC Ultimate though,
Is this something
if you
about
have that.
Final Arc? Is
Something
that
like that.
right?
Yeah,
Something
something
like
about
that.
an arc. You're right. You're right. So, but what'd you think of the cover?
I like the cover because, so in a way, it falls into a classic cover design. Now, when you say classic cover design, probably the two most famous are like where one group is coming in from one side, one group is coming in
Right,
from the
the
other side.
face
So
off,
there's that. There's also, you know, like the quote unquote dead character. So whether it's Batman holding Robin, Superman holding Supergirl, Cyclops holding Jean Grey, like that's another trope. But this is the trope of where, like, usually, like the team has fallen, and there's one character, and there's the shadow of another one. Pro probably the easiest one to compare it to, although it's not one for one, is All-Star Comics number 58. Now,
I have this all in my notes right
listeners,
now.
I had to cheat because if you hear me on Batman and Family Reunion, I'm horrible with issue numbers, so I had to bring it up to look. But it's All-Star Comics 58, and it's the one that introduces the Super Squad. And on that cover, you have the JSA kind of laying down in the foreground, and then coming from the back are Star-Spangled Kid and Robin and Power Girl. And this here, it's a little bit reversed, where the Zoo Crew is back in the background, and Little Cheese is coming up, but you see the shadow of Fat Cat falling over him, and such a great dramatic event. Like, and it makes for a great cover.
Yeah, it's a really cool cover, classic. And that's so funny that you said that, because I was looking at this and I was like, I know this is a trope and I know I've seen it a million times, and I was trying to think, there has to be one in my head that I'm specifically thinking of, and I kept racking my brain, and I was trying to think of like, well, maybe if I just like kind of do some cursory searches, like cool covers and stuff like that. And yes, absolutely, All-Star Comics 58 or came up. That's exactly right. But it's a great first moment for Little Cheese too. You know, it's fantastic. It's very heroic. It's great.
And especially for like a small character, how do you have them be a major part of the cover? And this is the fantastic way to do it. I keep saying fantastic just because that's one of my go-to words. I'm sorry.
Well, and no, that's fine. You're on the fantastic four. That's a great word to use here. So, all right. So we discussing a story, we don't have to go beat by beat. It's you know, we can just sort of discuss it in generalities and then whatever specific things you want to talk about. First and foremost, I just wanted to say up front that Scott Shaw is fantastic, the writer and primary artist on Captain Carrot, just packing detail into every, you know, he never sells you short. You get your, in this case, your 60 cents worth of comic in this, and it's all fun little things. Like, you know, it starts off, you know, they have Captain Garrett has the Z building instead, you know, kind of based on the Titans T, you know, T building that they used to have out in, where was that? Was that Staten Island where they had their, was it Staten Island where the T building was?
I'm not sure if it was Staten Island. It was definitely New York City the
Yeah, it was
first go
somewhere.
round. Then, kind of like when they revived it years later, it was it in San
San
Francisco?
Francisco. But the, you know, the art studio where Captain Carrot, when he's not Captain Carrot, he's a comic book artist. You know, he's got posters on the wall in his studio and papers everywhere, and it looks very lived in. And of course, the ultimate nod is he's using pig iron as a model, and the comic he's doing is the Batman Hulk Treasury issue, which I guess it's Batmouse, and I'm trying to remember what the
The
Hulk's name.
inedible hog.
Yes, the inedible hog. Yes, so
And
which is just wonderful.
And the funny thing is, because like when you think of like funny animals, yeah, you think like six panels on a page, almost it looks like a coloring book where there are no backgrounds, it's just the character and the word balloon.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it definitely took me longer to read this issue and to look at this issue than it does a modern comic book.
Oh, absolutely. Like, yeah.
There are probably 600 words on that first two page splash page because they're talking back and forth.
Yeah, yeah, there are all these jokes. Plus, you're looking at all the background stuff and everything. You're absolutely right. It does take a while to read this.
And talking about like what's in the panel. So you have Roger Rodney Rabbit, and he's a comic book artist. But taped to his filing cabinet is like a Moon Knight, like an animal version of Moon Knight.
Yeah, is it a rabbit? Does he have rabbit ears?
It looks a rabbit because he has like the big ears. Yeah.
And then he's got like a statue of, I think, is that supposed to be him or is that supposed to be Super Squirrel? I can't tell.
It's the Superman analog.
Super Squirrel.
And then behind there, and I forget, but it's is it Green Lantern? I forget.
Yes, it's Green Lantern. Yes. Yeah, it's terrific. And later on, just little things like when Little Cheese is in his room, you see a TIE fighter hanging from the ceiling.
Yeah.
And you see a Spock poster. Whatever animal he converts to, I couldn't quite tell. And then he can kind of go the other way too. Like when they go to Fat Cat's penthouse. They used the shadowy blinds, the whole style that Frank Miller always used for the Kingpin, stuff like that. It's wonderful. He's a lot of fun. And I found now as I'm doing these episodes that I'm definitely trending more towards the artist than I am the writer. I mean, I want something that's entertaining and everything. But I it's almost an excuse to gush over some of these artists who don't get it all the time. And it's just terrific. Going back to your puns. I mean, when they're at the Follywood dinner scene with Yankee Poodle and they're talking about Orson Welles and Raccoon Welch and Farrah Fawcett. And maybe stay away from Woodsy Allen's table. I'd probably stay away from that one. Yeah, but it's true. Between all these like old actors and the Batman Batmouse hog treasury, Rob Kelly should be all over this issue. He's got to love this.
It's funny talking about this issue. There really only is one thing I don't like about, and it's not even like this issue. I think Little Cheese outfit is fantastic. Like, and one thing I love, I always love when I guess because I don't have hair, I always love when you see the hero's hair. Like, probably the most famous for is Kid Flash.
Kid Flash is
fantastic.
Yeah,
but like Little Cheese has that, and like it's cool because he has kind of like a white middle and then like the red down the side. But like his logo, I just think is. It's supposed to be like the cheese that he eats is it Lunar
it's, yeah, Limburger? It's something like, yeah, yeah. I'm trying to look it up, yeah.
I just think it looks bad. And also, I just keep thinking it looks like a slice of pizza.
It does look like, or some sort of Illuminati thing or something like that. Like a triangle.
That's the only complaint. I agree. Maybe if it was angled differently or something like that.
Yeah, I think if they had, I was going to say, I think if they had drawn it like with different proportions so it was a little more three-dimensional looking, I think that would have worked better as a slice of cheese instead of, you're right, just a triangle pointing up. Because you're right, it does kind of look like, from a distance, it looks like a green slice of pepperoni pizza.
Yeah. But that's the only kind of negative. All the rest is finding my joy in the issue.
Right, right.
And I like how, like, they spend a lot of time on his origin, but it is nicely balanced because you get that whole page of the Zoo Crew doing their thing. Like if this would be the first issue of Zoo Crew you ever read, like, you still would get an idea of what these characters do. Because on page 19, they have, like, the three panels where each of the characters is doing it. So, you know, Alley Cat Abra is doing her magic. Fastback is running around. Rubber Duck is twisting and getting a lot. So, like, you still get an idea of the Zoo Crew.
Right. Who they are, what they can do and everything. Right. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's these These issues were always fun, and when you mentioned Captain Carrot as one of your options, I was like, well, first of all, I'm thinking this is probably my only chance to do this, you know, because I don't know how many people are gonna pick Captain Carrot. But he's it definitely takes me back to a specific time period, you know, because it lasted, I think, about 20 issues or so, the original series. So it was that kind of that early 80s time, and just the look and the feel and the tone of these comics were so much fun. And it was at a time of me, and I guess, you know, around there I was, you know, I was about 12 years old, I think, when this came out, 11, maybe 11. So I mean, that's boom, that's right in your wheelhouse when you're reading comics and what you love. And that and it was a great time to enjoy this series. Like, if I hadn't read it when I was a kid, I don't think I'd ever go back to it. I'd be like, yeah, that's cute, but I'm not gonna, you know, I'm not gonna read it. Like, I'd appreciate it, but that's fine, but I'm never gonna read it. But because
So
I did, yeah, go ahead.
I'm about to say something that I guess amounts to heresy. Growing up, we didn't go to see a lot of movies. Like I think my
Except the
parents
black hole, right? You saw that several times.
ixnay on that hack blow oh
That
hey.
It's a little inside baseball. Yeah, so.
But my parents, I think my parents took me to see one movie. So anytime I saw movies, it was because my sister and her date would take me. And imagine that. You're on a date and taking like these little kids. So thank you, Terry and Earl.
Awesome.
But going to the movies, so there's some movies I saw as a kid, but there's a bunch that I never did.
Right.
So I almost don't want to say it out loud, but I will. I understand the place in people's hearts that this movie has. And I do think it's a neat movie, but watching this movie as an adult did not latch on to me. And the movie is, and I don't want to sink your show. It's so early
No,
in
it's
its
fine. It's
run.
fine. What?
The Goonies.
Oh, you know what? Here, well, if we're gonna sink the show, we're going down together, buddy. I have literally never seen the Goonies.
Now,
I've never seen it. I've never seen
I will say
it.
I didn't not like it. Now I'm not loving or rape, but if I would have seen it when it came out, I probably would still be like gaga over it just because like it is well done and I can see how, you know, it is below and of course like the cast is fantastic. But because I saw it when I was just so old and already quote unquote mature, like it just didn't get into me the way like Witch Mountain did or any of those other ones.
No, I've never seen it either. I missed that one when I was a kid. Some of my friends, the same way, they love this movie and they can quote it, and I'm like, huh? I don't know what you're talking about. So don't, yeah, this is a safe space, Sean.
But it is nice because I definitely like I was first run Captain Carrot, so I still have that seeped into me.
Good. You're good. And I don't know, what'd you think of Fat Cat as a villain? I mean, because some of the villains I always thought in the Captain Carrot, some were a little hit or miss. Some of them were like, the name was great, but it was, you know, the villain itself was just, and again, they're all, again, this is, we're talking about talking animals. Some of the they're all silly, but some are sort of better villains than others.
Well, in terms of villainy, like Little Cheese's father's dead, so I kind of think that is a heavyweight villain.
Yeah, he's not kidding around. Yeah, I mean, he's sort of a nod to the Kingpin, I would say. I
Oh,
mean, more
definitely,
than anybody else. Is that what he got for this? Yeah, and the way he's used and everything. You're right. It is sort of like, holy crap, they killed his dad. I mean, that's kind of
I thought
dark.
for sure at the end it was gonna be like, oh, thank goodness he was in a trunk, or however they were gonna, you know, not have him be like Swiss cheese with holes in him. But that didn't happen.
No, and they buried his dad. Like, he goes to visit his dad's grave at the end. Like, I love, that's another trope I always love, where it's just on a little hill on a tree, so they just bury people random places so you can go visit. And if you want to go have a picnic there, you gotta kind of sit around a tombstone. So,
And I guess he must not be worried about his secret identity because he's there in full costume and he says pop. So.
I guess. Well, I mean, look, he's basically got like part of his, he's basically got like his forehead covered. I mean, that's pretty much like what his mask covers. So he's, so I don't think he's trying too hard to begin with. But, you know, RIP to his dad, who's probably buried in a shoebox, I would guess, underneath the ground there. Now, again, so you're a big fan of these guys. Did you have a particular character that like sorry, before you go into, I picked this particular issue, like I was going through, I was gonna do the crossover with the Just a Lot of Animals,
Oh
but that was like two issues, and I reread that, and there was just so much to it. I was almost like, I don't even know where we start or begin. It was almost too much. I'd highly recommend it. It's a lot of fun. I remember that it was sort of the apex. I think it's like two issues after this one that that happens. And they were kind of building up to that, which is a lot of fun. But I thought, you know, look, this is kind of the one character they added in the regular show, you know, afterwards. So he came on for the last, I don't know, maybe half dozen issues or something like that before the series ended. It was a lot of fun. So I liked him. But I don't know, did you have like particular characters that you were really fond of or gravitated towards, or did you have a favorite or
I
anything?
kind of think, and I guess she's a magic character, so Alley Cat Abra. I guess just because, for whatever reason, she's not like Zatanna, but that made me think of Zatanna. I mean, all of, Fastback, quote unquote, is the
The
Flash,
Flash,
and,
yeah.
Rubber Duck is Plastic Man, stuff, So Yankee Poodle is a little less analogous
That was the
to
one who really
someone.
didn't have a specific one-to-one. I couldn't really think of if there was somebody in particular that they were. I mean, she's got this sort of patriotic thing. Like maybe the only thing I could really think of is like maybe the Star Spangled Kid or something like that, kind of along
Maybe.
those lines. I don't know. But yeah, she didn't really have one. But yes. So Alley Cat Abra was kind of her. Yeah, no, I liked her. And I guess they always had like a will they, won't they thing with Captain Carrot and her. Wasn't that sort of a recurring theme? So anything else you would like to say about this wonderful issue of
One
Captain
thing,
Carrot?
which when Captain Carrot is brought up, which isn't all that often, I do think probably everybody says DC had to have tried to pitch this as a Saturday morning cartoon, right? Like they would have had to.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. They must have. They must have.
So if anyone out there in Barland can let us know if they know
It's the Fantasta Lounge,
the
Sean. So,
Fantasyland. If
yes.
anyone hanging out
And
in the
all are welcome. And
Fantasyland.
we probably have some people who are big into animated shows from the early 80s. So maybe they know something
Let me
about.
know if there's an issue, like an issue of back issue that talks about, because it has to have, and I just can't believe that it hasn't happened.
Yeah, you think it would be perfect almost now, sort of as a retro thing too. Like you could see them kind of doing it now that like Max has like a lot of their stuff, you know, and their IP or something. Although I could totally see James Gunn doing something with it now that he's sort of taken over. I could see not in a bad way, but I could see him being like maybe handing it off to somebody and being like, yeah, let's do like something for the kids too to bring them in. Because we have enough of the darker animation. Let's do
I
something for
agree
the
with
kids.
that. I absolutely agree with that.
And some of it's very good, you know, some of it's very good. But yeah, we could use something a little for the kids. My 7-year-old is really into, they have one called Bat Wheels. I don't know if you heard of this. It's
I have like seen I not I have I haven't seen it. Like I've seen stills and I've seen like little clips, but I've never sat down and watched a whole episode.
Yeah, it's kind of, it's like, you know, like the Pixar movie Cars. It's sort of in that respect where all the bat, the actually Batman and Robin and Batgirl are in it. And so are the villains, but they all like have their own vehicles and stuff like that. And the vehicles kind of have a mind of their own, more or less. So they, you know, so they kind of get into their little mishaps, I guess, when Batman's sleeping or something. I don't know. They go out on their own and battle these, they call them the Legion of Zoom. You know,
Oh, I like
those are
that.
like the bat, they're all like Batman villains, though. They don't cross into anything else, but you know, like. And there's a couple of helicopters and trucks and there's a plane or two and cars. It's fun. Anyway, he likes it a lot. So
Do,
it's
do you, do, did you ever see the episode of Batman Brave and the Bold where it's like the big car race where it's kind of like wacky races.
Yes. Oh, I love that one. That's one of my favorites. Absolutely. And he loves that show too. I show him. I
I
have him
love that
watch that
show.
one. Yeah. He's they need more stuff like that. They need
I
more stuff.
agree.
You know,
I
like
absolutely agree.
bring back Captain Carrot. Somebody write their congressman. Let's get this going. Let's get this going. The IP is just sitting there doing nothing.
Yeah, I know.
So
Yeah.
come on. Anyway, all right. Any last thoughts on Captain Carrot and his amazing Zucra?
Go out in the back ish. I think it is on DC Universe
It is
Infinite app. I think.
the whole series is.
So yeah, definitely. There's no reason for you not to read
And for fun, take the insert and just put it in
it. Just take
just
one
put
to
it
your
in put
iPad.
it stuff it into like the death of Captain Marvel, like right in the middle there or something like that, or just do something fun with it like that. You know, pick up someone's day when they're reading some terrible comic. So all right, well, with that out of the way, now we're at last call.
My.
So in this segment I asked my insightful guest, Sean, some thought-provoking questions that came to me as I prepared for the show. I asked a question. Sean fascinates us all in the lounge with his answers. So Sean has some of the questions ahead of time. I have given him the first two fantastic questions ahead of time. The third one is a mystery, so he does not know that one. But so here we go. Fantastic question number one. Many scholars consider Little Cheese the apex of superpowered shrinking character. List your top five, or you can do more than that if you want. Tiny superheroes slash villains, and where does Little Cheese stand in your hierarchy? Sean,
Okay.
go ahead.
So probably the number one is Adam. Now that's going by comics. Like number one is
Right.
Adam because
Are
he kind
you
of.
and Ray Palmer, Adam?
Yes.
Okay.
Although I
All
do
right.
like Ryan Choi, but Ray Palmer is, yeah. Although keep that wife away. Number two, number two is Ant-Man and the Wasp. So I always cheat
Okay.
him. So Ant-Man and Wasp, and
All
especially
right.
like the movie versions because that's fantastic.
You prefer the movie versions to
I think so.
the
Yeah,
Hank Pym?
yeah.
Okay, I get
And
it. Go ahead.
So number three is Blue Jay, who was with
Oh
like
yeah.
Justice League, and I like
Well, you
him
really are
because
sucking up the shag in this episode,
he,
aren't you?
but
Jeez.
actually, it's more so because he was like involved with like the Mitch Wacky, who was like the Walt Disney. So
Right.
it's really my thing that I like about
Oh,
it.
okay. So
It
it's like
just
a
happens to
Disney. It's a Disney thing.
intersect with, yeah,
Okay.
exactly, yeah.
Now, could he? So when he shrank, I'm trying to remember. He just went from like full size to Blue Jay size. Like he was
About
basically the size of a Blue Jay. He couldn't like keep shrinking smaller. He was
correct.
either one
It's
size or the other, right?
about 7 inches, and because this
Okay.
is a visual, this is not a visual podcast, I am
Right.
winking my eye when I say about 7 inches.
I know where you're going with that. Good for you, Blue Jay. All right. What?
The next one is Shrinking Violet.
Oh yes, Legion of Superheroes,
And this is
absolutely.
a little bit selfish, so I would read Legion off and on, like throughout my comic book reading career. But I kind of decided that I want to go and get like not all the Legion back issues, but
Right.
starting, this is going to sound mean, starting when Kurt Swan stopped drawing it. Because like I like his Superman, even like I just think they're kind of like boxy kind of versus like the sleek. And especially like when it gets into the Disco Legion, oh my God, I love those redesigns.
Oh yeah, the Mike Grell stuff. Yeah. No, Kurt Swan was your grandpa's artist. You know, he was I have a lot of respect for him because he was around a very long time, and by all accounts, he was a pretty good guy and ultra reliable. Like if you needed something done, boom, he was there. And for a while, I mean, he was doing stuff like Legion and three different Superman titles and Lois Lane. You know, he was like drawing everything. So he was, you know, he's out there. And I think he kind of had his apex where I guess where other contemporaries of him at the time when he was younger was like Jim Mooney and guys like that. So his art looked a little more contemporary or a little more advanced than a lot of those guys that were kind of when they were coming out of the golden age into the silver age, and he had a very polished style. But you're right, but he was around forever, and there was a point where you were like, and I think that's the 70s, even the 80s, he was still drawing Superman. And you know, and you look at other artists who were doing, you know, you saw John Byrne over there doing X-Men, and
And I will honestly backtrack a little, and I swear to Zod, I am not kissing up to Rob, but Kurt Swan did artwork for an Aquaman special, and it looks great. And I don't know if it's a different inker than like was on his Superman stuff, but like that artwork in that Aquaman special looks fantastic.
Okay, yeah, I mean, well, that's and that can happen. I remember I want to say in the Who's Who, I think Kurt Swan did it and was inked by John Byrne or something for one of the ones, and it looked great. You know, it was kind of the same thing where like I think he could, like, later in his years, an inker could really hold his stuff together and it still looked pretty good. Anyway, we're kind of going off. I know what you're talking about. You know, you kind of wanted to go to more content, and Mike Grell was awesome. That he's the guy that kind of got me into the Legion. So I have basically starting from like Superboy 200 up, like forward, I pretty much have every Legion issue there is. And yeah, he was, you know, it was just so different. You know, he was kind of from that more kind of tried to be a little more Neil Adams-y. He wasn't as good as Neil Adams. Sorry, Mike Grell. I know he's still around, but
I don't know. There's and definitely like I hate like Adams when he goes back and messes his when he Lucases his
No, I,
stuff. I
yeah.
hate that. And
Yes.
like Adams' artwork now, because during his prime, like it was so like
It's revolutionary.
fluid
Yeah.
and but now it's so scratchy and I don't know. The artwork now I
Well,
don't like.
yeah, I think if you put it in its time, though. But anyway, Grell was kind of along those same lines, but he kind of had those certain poses. Like the legs were always really spread apart, you know, and
Bring it.
Sorry, let me contextualize. Well, look, again, you know, some of the outfits on this is where I met. I admit it's probably the only guy who listens to these shows who had a crush on Princess Projectra. She was my favorite, actually. Well, she had the whole, you know, the whole, you know, the outfit. So that whole outfit, like she, I was like, you know, holy cow. And then like what Saturn Girl was wearing, you know, and like so, you know, they're the Naked Legion, I've heard them called too, you know, the
Really.
Disco Legion, the Naked Legion. You know, the costumes were amazing. So is that the like, is there a certain period of Shrinking Violet that you liked, or like later on, or the 5YL, or what, like, was there a certain.
I would say like the when I say the end of the run of Legion, I'm talking about like from the 60s, 70s up to Crisis.
So like the okay, all right, I got you.
Although I know is it called Legion 3 or Legionnaires 3? And I think was that Stuart Immonen? Is that right?
Legion of Three Worlds?
I
That was
forget.
Perez.
No, so who? So there's someone kind of
Sorry.
is like Mike Perabek, kind of like big-eyed. I don't want to say cartoony, but like
Ernie
that.
Colon? Because he
No,
did
this.
one. He did. There was a like 3-issue or 4-issue miniseries called Legionnaires 3. But maybe that's. I don't know if that's what you're talking about or not.
So the one I'm thinking of, I'm gonna
Let's take your
quickly
time.
look
That's
it up.
again, this is the beauty of editing. So I can always cut some of this stuff. But and everyone in the Fantastic Lounge, they're listen, they've already dumped a bunch of whiskey in their zoo cruises. They don't know what's going on anymore. So take your time.
Okay, so it's not Legionnaires 3. It was just I think it was just called Legionnaire.
Oh yes, the later series, the Archie Legion, they call it, don't they? Or something like that?
That probably makes a that makes it yes. Yeah. So that artist, I really like that artist because
Oh,
it
what
reminds me
is
of
his
Arabic and
name?
it's like is it Stuart Immonen?
Yes, or
Okay. Oh yeah.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah,
Terrific artist.
so I like that
Yes.
artist a lot. That's
Very good.
probably, and I think that was post-Crisis. That's kind of like the only post-Crisis Legion that I really
That
liked.
came out of the 5YL. So you had the 5 years later, which I was not a big fan of. And then they had the Young Legion that came out of that, who were either supposed to be like clones, or they are from like a pocket universe or something. I can't even remember anymore. But that was a fun series.
And
Yeah.
I appreciate you being on my Legion podcast, but the last thing I'll say about this is they really need to lean into, like, they need with Legion, what I think would really work is super, super multicultural. And I mean, like, super, like, weird looking aliens and, like, all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And it needs to be more like a soap opera, because these are, like, kids and teens and young adults, and you know,
Yes.
like the drama that you get, like,
Yeah.
there needs to be more of that. Like, if they ever do a Legion TV show, it almost needs to be like
CW
Beverly Hills
show or something like that. Yeah,
90210
yeah,
meets superheroes. Yeah, it needs
Right.
to be that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and they should all have sideburns. Absolutely. Well, I'll say this is the last thing I'll say on our Legion podcast. But when you were talking about they should be more multicultural and be more alien stuff like that, did you read the it was kind of met with mixed reviews, but Brian Michael Bendis did a 12 issue, I think it's 12 issue run of Legion of Superheroes maybe about 4 years ago.
No.
Did you read that?
No.
It's worth checking out because he did do that. Now,
Okay.
he kept some of the standard, but he did some mix it up in
Oh,
that
good, good.
respect. You know, it made it seem like, look, in the 30th century, these aren't going to be a bunch of white kids. You know,
Exactly, yeah.
it didn't. That was always, you know, looking back, I didn't really think about it that much when I was a kid. But looking back, you're like, wow, this is
Yeah.
really white. You know, and
Yeah.
it could use a mix. And when they finally would do it, somebody like Tyrock, the characters were sort of mixed
Right.
results, you know. I
Yeah.
mean, they but yeah, give that check that out. And that's probably on DC Ultra Humanite, whatever it's called too. So yeah, it's worth a look, and I'd be curious what you think about it. So anyway, what podcast is this again? Fantastic. All right, was that, well, I don't remember, was that five shrinking characters? That was five, right? Or was it,
Technically no, but
oh
we're
okay,
not going
what,
to deep dive. The last one is Bumblebee, but
oh
it's
yeah.
only on the cartoon that she's.
Yes.
I wish the original Titans Karen Beecher would shrink down, but she didn't. She's
Yes.
still a great character, but on the cartoon she can shrink. Now that's all that
Yeah.
has to
Is
be
that
said
you're talking
about DC.
about Teen Titans Go, that one?
Yeah.
Again, we're just off the
Yeah, I
rails at
know.
this point. I might as well say that I love, well, again, my 7-year-old loves that cartoon. I watch it with him. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
I think that's probably my here's another hot take besides neither of us like the Goonies. I like that more. Like if you took all the animation that DC has done, that might be number one for me. I love it that much. I think
As
it's so fun. It's so funny. I love it.
for
So
me,
move
it
over Batman, the animated series.
that's
Yes,
mine.
I'm
It has
saying it. I'm saying
to be. And then Little Cheese comes in at six.
Yeah, okay, very good. I was gonna say Little Cheese should be there somewhere. These mocktails are just going straight to my head.
Yeah. They bring out the truth.
Yeah, they really do. It's the cinnamon, that's what it is. Okay, fantastic question number two. If you were to live on Earthsea, what kind of animal would you be and what would your name be?
Man, I am cracking my knuckles because I am so proud of this.
Right, let's hear it.
I, Sean Myers, would be Fawn Myers,
Oh, nice.
and I would look exactly like James McAvoy as Mr. Tumnus in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And I'm gonna put a little personal spin on this.
Right, yeah.
So I love Tales of the City. It's like a book series that it originally was magazine, like a magazine column. And then they
Okay.
collected them in a book. It's fantastic. It's 1970s San Francisco, and the main one of the main characters, Michael Tolliver, who goes by the nickname of Mouse,
Ah, okay.
dresses up as Mr. Tumnus for Halloween. So it all comes together.
There you
So
go. Awesome.
oh man, I just thought we're gonna have to record this whole thing, and you're gonna have to introduce me as Fawn Myers.
Oh, okay. Well, we can just start over if you want. Let me get the saucepan ready. I have to make some more thyme, maple syrup, cinnamon syrup. All right, very well, that's very good. You know, and here's the thing, I wanted to interject with this and like come up with one of my own. I couldn't think of anything for that. Like there was nothing that went with either my first or last name. I couldn't think of a thing. I was trying to think of animals, trying to think of animal sounds. I was
It's
trying to think of
tough.
like, and I couldn't think of, so I completely failed in this whole thing. I'm glad I was asking you the question, not the other way around, because I couldn't think of anything. So I just wouldn't be a good animal, I guess. Okay. Here's the mystery, fantastic question.
Oh.
Sean, Park City Mall, go.
Man, you thought we went long on the Legion. This is gonna be a 12 episode, a 2 hour each episode, 12
Yeah, I'm gonna have to
episode
cut this in half.
miniseries about Park City in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
So full disclosure for all our friends in the Fantasta Lounge, the Park City Mall is a mall in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, which was basically shaped like a star, kind of, right? So you
An
had
asterisk star with
an
like the
asterisk,
yeah.
So you had, was it five? It was 5 points or six? I can't remember now.
So it was like a compass point with four
Yeah,
long,
long
long
ones, and then it
balls,
had like
and
four
then
shorter
the
prongs.
ones the
That's right.
dia the quote unquote diagonal
That's
ones were
right.
maybe like half of that
Boy,
size.
I should remember this. Anyway, the very middle of the mall, there was a fountain and everything, and you had some like little kiosks around there. And then you'd go down any of the aisle hall. I'm using my hands here so everyone can see what I'm talking about here. You go down their malls, and at the end of each of the major sections, there would be a department store. There would be some, there was like Sears, J.C. Penney's. I think there was
Bon-Ton,
Bon-Ton, yeah,
Watt and
Kohl's,
Shan.
I think Watt and Shan. Yeah, there were all these different ones, and they changed kind of over the years. And Park City Mall's still there. I haven't been there in a number of years. My mom still lives there, but I haven't been to the actual mall in a long time. But yeah, go ahead, go ahead. Sorry.
And I honestly can tie this to comics because it used to be that down in the basement they had a farmer's market, and in that farmer's market was the very first ever comic book shop that I ever went to.
Yep,
And
same.
I bought Justice League of America number 200 there.
Ah, did you? I may have bought that one there too. Yes, it was a farmer's market in the bottom of the mall, and that was, yeah, same as you. That was, now I used to go. Before I went there, I used to like go with my dad to like, there's he used to smoke a pipe, and so he'd go to this like tobacco store that had a, there was also like a newsstand type place, and it had a spinner rack in the back, and that was like the first place I ever got comics. I specifically remember getting Teen Titans issue 9, the one where the, I think it's issue 9, the one with the where they're all looking up and this bomb is
Like a
coming right
missile,
at them. But yes, that was the first, the comic store it was called. I love that comic book store. And then he moved out to the Golden Triangle Center, if you know where that is. And then it moved after that. Now it's over, not too far from F&M College, sort of like kind of
Isn't
near the
it?
railroad
Yeah, it's
tracks.
right across from the train station.
The train station. But did you have some famous, but just as the Park City Mall, like what was your experience with the Park City Mall in general?
So I'm sure I went to Park City before what I'm going to talk about, but so I lived in a place called Spring Grove, which was about an hour's drive away from Lancaster. So it was like a big deal to go. So I technically was in a church youth group, but really it was kind of more just like a youth group. And we would go to movies, we'd go play miniature golf, do stuff like that. But every year, the first Saturday in December, we would go over to Park City for the day. And I mean, like when I say for the day, we were there when it opened at like 9 or 10 o'clock. And we left at like 6 or 7 o'clock. So like it was
Oh
a
my gosh.
full day. So
Holy.
that definitely, like I remember those
Wow.
trips. I think probably like around my birthday, my parents would like take me to Park City. And it was always, especially like, I mean, it's such almost a stereotype now, but like the mall in the 80s, I mean, that was just like the pinnacle
Oh yeah.
of both of those things.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that was your social scene too. You know, when you were in high school or something like that, you couldn't go to bars. You couldn't, especially in towns like, we weren't in Manhattan, we were in Lancaster. So unless you wanted to like run around the fields or something like that, or go to a Roots sale or something like that, there wasn't much to do. So you go to the mall. Yeah. One of my favorite places I remember was kind of right off the you have the right off the center near the fountain. There was one of those the cookies, the big cookies were all the rage, like in sort of the late, mid to late 80s, and they had one of those places. I don't remember what it's called, but I used to always go there. You could get like just a, you get a regular size cookie and it have icing on it, or they had the ones where it's the two cookies and it was just filled with like icing inside. It was disgusting. So you go there and you get that, then you go to another place and get like a slushy or something
No,
like
you
that.
get an orange Julius and you would pay a little bit extra and they would put like a raw egg in it so it would froth up even
Oh
more.
no, I didn't do that.
Yes.
Oh
The
man.
egg always made it so much better.
I know. Basically all the foods and drinks and snacks I remember from my youth living in Lancaster were all just terrible for you. Just this is awful, like tasty cakes and
Whoopie pies.
yeah, whoopie, oh gosh, whoopie pies, crimpets. You remember crimpets? Oh gosh, everything. I remember that place. I remember, you had Spencer Gifts,
Oh man,
a lot of
Spencer Gifts was so odd because, like, kind of like the first half of the store was like fine and normal, and then like you'd go to the back and it was like all these like quote unquote toys, and I don't mean like I don't mean Matchbox cars or Barbie dolls. It was like all
They were one step away from needing like they have in the video stores where you have the curtain that you have to kind of go beyond, into the back room. They were about one step away from there. There were the hip places to get clothes. I
Chess
remember
King.
Chess Cows.
I
Oh
was
God, I was about to
always
say Chess
so
King.
intim I never shopped at Chess King because I was so intimidated.
I was like later in life. I was like, remember Structure? Remember that
I
place?
do remember Structure,
I think they
yeah.
had one in there for a while at least. So that was sort of my go-to outfits were from Structure and stuff like that. But and then the rotation of the department stores,
Right, yep.
they always kept something. I don't know there's got to be something there at this point. I don't even know what would be there. Do you
Ease
know? When's the
the
last time you were there?
oh gosh, I honestly can't remember the last time I was at Park City. So I live in Baltimore now. So gosh, 2 or 3 years ago maybe at the earliest, but even I don't know. I know there is probably the coolest thing there now, the most hip and up to date thing is probably like the Apple Store. They do have an Apple Store
Oh, do
there.
they? Oh,
At least
Walden Books. Remember the Walden Books? That was, I used to spend a lot of time
I
at Walden
remember Walden
Books.
Books. And the nice thing is, at least like as a few years ago, like Park City is still thriving. Now, I do like to go visit a dead mall, but I never want Park City to be a dead mall.
No, I'd like that to be sort of one of
Yeah.
the last ones standing. So I'm glad it's still there. That's good. It's right by Long's Park,
Yes,
over
yes.
there. And again, I think I've told you this before. Whenever you guys are always talking about the Batman family reunion picnics and everything, I always envision like when I first started listening to your show, that's what I envision Long's Park. Like that's where the reunions
Because
would
you can
be.
walk under that little like overpass bridge right from Long's Park to Park City. Yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely. So that's always what I envisioned in my head. Even, I haven't lived there in 25 years, but that's what I always think of.
Come
So,
for the big fire company chicken cookout.
yes, they used to. Do you remember the petting zoo? Did you remember when they had the petting zoo
I
there?
was
Were you
never
ever
at the pet.
there?
I've heard stories
Oh,
about the
God,
petting
it
zoo, but
was
I was
great. It was
never.
grim. It was grim. It wasn't. Especially towards the end, it was just like these animals really shouldn't be here. But and
did
then
they did they dye a dog to make it look like a panda?
I think it was pretty close to that kind of stuff. It was like this isn't even what animal this is supposed to be, stuff like that.
Animals bring us back around to Captain Carrot.
There you go. We came full circle. Well done, Sean. All right. Well, it's closing time, Sean. Sean, honestly, I can't thank you enough for being on the show. You've been incredibly supportive in this endeavor and having me on your shows, and I greatly appreciate it. So thank you very much. And where can people find you?
The first Wednesday of every month, Paul Keen and I host a podcast called Gotham City Architectural Talk. And Brett
Yes, very
Gunn
good.
is our guest. Now, when we can't have Brett on, we revert back to the show called Batman Family Reunion, where we talk about the Batman family and Detective Comics.
Yeah, that one's a little less low, is a little more lowbrow, but it's still worth listening. No, Batman Family Reunion is fantastic. It's a terrific show. Definitely listen to it. It's a good 3 hour listen,
Yeah.
once
Yeah. Yeah, this has been a breeze.
once a month. But yeah, it's a terrific show. And again, Sean, thank you. I really appreciate you being on. This was a lot of fun. Any chance I get to talk about Park City and cartoons and drinking and everything at the same point is fantastic. Feel free to stick around the lounge. If you want to have another mocktail, they can whip something else up or just sprinkle a little cinnamon on top of some tonic water or something if you need that. So whatever you need. But thanks so much, and we'll be right back.
Earth-shattering disasters, strange sports stories, five-star superhero spectacular. What do all these titles have in common? Well, they're all Bronze Age DC Comics, of course, but they are all also special. My name is Paul Kien, and I'm the host of the new podcast, DC Specialcast. In the 1970s, DC Comics published a number of catch-all titles, like DC Special, DC Special Series, DC Superstars, and others. These comics varied wildly in content, quality, and even format. Each episode, I will be joined by a guest to explore one of these special comics. So join me for DC Specialcast, coming in 2025, only on the Fire and Water Podcast Network.
We're back. If you like what you heard, support the Fire and Water Podcast Network on Patreon at patreon.com/FW podcast. There you can unlock various rewards, including being name checked on the show of your choice. My fellow network all-star Sean Ross has chosen the Fantastic Four, and much like cartoon animals, Sean only wears the top part of his outfit. If you, dear listener, choose the Fantastic Four, I will get you your very own plate of little cheese, or at least find some fun way to mention your name on every episode. Now, here is the feedback from episode 11 with Chuck Dill featuring Mr. Fantastic and a Manhattan. Trying to get in a game of pinball, Bucky749 says, what kind of pinball machine did you get for the Fantastic Lounge? Shadow Pinball, Doctor Who, Demolition Man, Batman 66, or Munsters? Those are all good choices, Bucky, but it's a Flash Gordon pinball machine. I got it for a steal off some rube who was moving to Florida. Sipping a pina colada, FW Godfather Rob Kelly says, great to hear Chuck's sandpapery yet dulcet tones on the network. I would have been fine if Chuck had picked an Aquaman comic. I'm not the jealous type. I know you're not, Rob. We just decided to go with Mr. Fantastic. That would be more fun. Regarding the Marvel playset he mentioned, I have a similar DC Comics branded checker set, which featured some really deep cut characters: Metamorpho, Heatwave, the Shark, Black Canary, etc. Little cardboard standees. If Galactus ever attacked my house, it would probably be one of the five things I'd try to save. Like Chuck, I enjoy superhero stories when the hero gets the drop on the villains because they are simply smarter. Some of my favorite Batman stories are when he reveals he was prepared all along. If I ever brought Mountain Comics back, I would switch the format and let the guest be the one to bring their vacation-centered comics. Fun episode as always. Thanks, Rob. Watching the highlights of Super Bowl 52. That's right, Ange, I said Super Bowl 52. Dr. Ange says, great show. I do not get many Marvel comics, even in my youth, but FF183, which was the ending of this story, one of them, and it hit me like a freight train. It introduced me to a bunch of Marvel characters who burned their way into my mind and became some of my favorite Marvel characters of all time. The Mad Thinker, my fave Marvel villain, Thundra, and Annihilus. So it was great to hear about this earlier chapter. I have to say that I know they have been in a bunch of adventures together, but Reed being only in a Speedo smoking a pipe, no one is that friendly. Some answers to the questions. Replacement Fantastic Four would be She-Hulk, Thundra, Crystal, and Medusa, but only if I get to hang out with them. Perfect Frightful Four, leading the team would be the aforementioned Mad Thinker with the Super Skrull, the Mole Man, and that bastiche-turned-coat Namor. Saving four things from my collection. Statue reproduction of the cover of Action Comics 252. Supergirl commissioned sketchbook. Black Orchid Funko Pop, and my Rocketeer movie poster. The teaser one where all the art is art deco. What would I do in the negative zone for a year? Serve my Dark Lord Annihilus, of course. Seriously, great show. Reread FF183 after I listened and I giggled like a seven-year-old. Thanks, Ange. Game change for the jukebox. James Williams says, haven't finished the episode yet, but I wanted to just say thank you for the second month in a row. Last month you covered Nexus, one of my favorite independent comics. This month you picked my single favorite comic book arc from my childhood. All that's left for you to cover is Cerebus, the Aardvark, and Uncle Scrooge. We'll see what we can do, James. Lounging in the Fantastic Patio, Edo Boznar says, I just came here to say that it's about time Mr. Fantastic got featured in the show. Now that I think about it, he should have been the first episode, damn it. Well, we had the thing, Edo. You know, we were in line there. Enjoyed the conversation, and I like the choice of issue. I like this era of the Fantastic Four, i.e. the late 70s. I came on board as a regular reader just before 200, and I'd pick up a few random issues of those earlier ones and never came away disappointed. And yes, to answer someone's question, Walter Cronkite was a longtime and well-respected CBS evening news anchor. I thought it was CBS, yeah. Also, Elastigirl was a badass in both the Incredible movies, not just the second one. That's very true. Arguing top five captains with some regulars, Super Captain says, first Marvel comic I remember having was the previous issue, 177, at age 6. It blew my mind that Reed Richards was somehow both one of the heroes and the villains of the story. I love the tryouts for the Frightful Four featuring Captain Ultra and Texas Tornado, along with Tigra and Thundra. When I had Roy Thomas sign that issue, he wondered out loud if Stan or Jack came up with the name Pastepot Pete. As far as the fan traps go, didn't Darkseid use one in the X-Men New Teen Titans and Alexander Luthor of Earth-3 during the Infinite Crisis in his attempt to resurrect the multiverse? Good fan trap means good comics. I agree. There were some great fan designs. And yes, I remember Darkseid used something like that in that crossover. And I'm trying to remember the one from Infinite Crisis, but you're probably right. So, and Brian Schufo replied to Super Captain. Captain Ultra and his pass out at the sight of fire is as funny as the first time I read it when I was a 7-year-old, as it is today. That very same Brian Schufo says, another fantastic episode. My older brother picked up this issue and the previous issue when they came out and are two of my favorites as a kid. I didn't pick up on a lot of the humor or the cultural references at the time, especially the politics, but visually they were two fantastic issues. That was a time when I was only looking at the pictures, not really reading the dialogue. The art really told the story. Both issues had that brilliant Fan of Doom. I often wondered why Reed didn't just stretch his neck and pull the levers with his mouth to escape. But hearing you mention that he wasn't into stretching his neck is probably the best artistic choice for the issue. I'm sure we could no prize in a story reason as well, but it takes a little bit of the fun out of it. Yeah, everybody's into the fans using the fan style design for traps. I agree. I'm into it too. As for why Sue was wearing a headband as part of her restraints, in this era, I remember seeing a lot of her invisible shields being drawn as projecting from her forehead. That's true. I assume this was the reason, but not being able to see is a good reason too. Except, adjusting my nerd glasses, couldn't Sue just make the headband invisible? I don't specifically recall her being able to do that until an issue in the John Byrne run. I also don't remember her saying anything while attached to the fan, so it might have put her to sleep. I think she may have said something to Tigra at one point, but I forget. I honestly love the fact that so much of it is unexplained, and that makes the reader stop and think about it. I agree. My good buddy Big Frank, who always texts me his thoughts of the show, said, just finished the latest episode. I never realized the Fantastic Four switched members. Now, by the way, Frank is not a comic book reader per se. He's just a good friend and likes to listen to the show. So keep that in mind. Did I hear correctly that the Brute from the Negative World joined up with his group of four by responding to an ad in the newspaper? That's right, Frank. I never realized how many superheroes / characters there are. Always learn a few new ones. Thanks, Big Frank. And finally, on his third rum runner, FW All-Star Paul Keane says, loved everything about this episode. This was one of my earliest issues of the FF, and it blew my mind. An evil Reed? I reread this run a few years ago, and it still holds up. It is a lot of fun. Chuck was an awesome guest, as always. Yes, he was. Thanks, Paul. Thanks to all those who listen. Be sure to subscribe to the Fantastic Four, available on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, and Spotify. And, of course, please leave a 5-star review. Fantastic Four is a proud member of the Fire & Water Podcast Network. You can find all episodes of Fantastic Four and many other quality shows at fireandwaterpodcast.com. Please leave comments on the website. Let me know what you think of the show, and I'll read all the feedback at the end of every episode. Follow us on Facebook at FW Podcast Network, Blue Sky at FW Podcast, or use our hashtag online at hashtag FW Podcast. I can be found on Instagram and Blue Sky at Imaginate Design. Thanks again to Sean Myers for hanging out at the Fantastic Lounge. Until next time, the bar's open.